He is good. Thank you, praise and worship team. Glory to God. Well, you guys know, can you turn me down just a tad, Joel? Sound like I'm yelling at my kids or something. I just had to do that before church. We don't want to do it again. Good night. Seem like they just get stirred up before we have to come to church. I don't know what that is. It's always something. Boys, I don't think I was that way when I was a kid. I'm pretty sure my brother and I did not argue like that. I know it. We just couldn't have. Mr. Joe, we couldn't have. Glory to God. Well, we're going to catch up right where Pastor Andy left off. And really, he just got started on, what did he call it? Speech therapist, speech tutor, right? So he just got one service in on that. So I'm just going to pick up right where he left off, and we're going to keep going. Did y'all enjoy Reverend Joe McGee? Man. And, you know, we were able to bless him big time when he left here. We got some seed in the ground, some serious seed. Man, I love that guy. He changed my life when I was in college. This is probably 15, 16, 17 years. Same time that he changed Pastor Andy, same deal. I was right here with him. As an 18, 19-year-old kid, you know, I bought back then it was tapes. You know, even then it was tape. He still had tapes. So I bought his tape series, A Man, Lover, Leader, Provider. You know, a young kid, listening to him in my truck, right? Got him in my tape player. Changed my life. My wife says amen because she enjoys the benefits, right? I mean, he just taught me how to be a man. He taught me how to be a lover, a leader, a provider from the Word of God. Man, he's a great one. So anyway, Pastor, turn to James chapter 3. We're going to pick up. Well, you know what? We're going to do tithes and offerings first. I'm sorry. Go to Matthew chapter 16. Let's do tithes and offerings first. And this is what I was going to minister the Saturday night that Reverend Joe was here. And I was in my office. I told my wife, I said, shut the door. I said, shut my office door. So she shut the door, and I was changing my offering. This is what I had, and I thought, I'm gonna do something else. I think I missed the Holy Ghost, you know? I ministered Proverbs 3, which was great. But earlier that day, I was studying Matthew chapter 16, and lo and behold, Reverend Joe ministers right out of the same five scriptures I had down for the tithes and offerings. I was like, man, did I miss God or what? Or was I just, he just getting me out of the way to let Reverend Joe do it so I didn't mess it up? But anyway, this is what I was going to share. And I don't like doing my offering that, you know, that late when the Holy Ghost does it. I get a little nervous, you know. Just kind of like, and sometimes he changes it standing right here. I'm like, oh, Lord, what does that scripture say? I mean, really? Isaiah, come on. Glory. But the Holy Ghost, you just lean on him, and he'll take care of it. He just will. So glory to God. Matthew chapter 16, it said, this is where Jesus comes to him, and he's asking his disciples, who are people saying that I am? Verse 13, he says, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? And then verse 14, it says, and they said, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Just like Reverend Joe said, they think you're somebody from the dead. They think you're just a prophet that used to walk around. They think you just came back. That's who they're saying you are. So he asked, and that's the first reply he gets. And I don't know if it was just one of them, or two, three, or how. It says they, so it was more than one, but I don't know who spoke up. I really don't know. You don't know. So it's the group of the disciples, and they say, some say you're John, Elijah, Jeremiah. That's what they're saying. And then Jesus says, well, who do you say I am? And then what does it say? It doesn't say they said. It says Peter said. It says Peter answered and said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered unto him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but by my Father which is in heaven. So what makes you, this? When he first asked the question, everybody I'm sure was kind of like, you know, just kind of standing, and they all just kind of as a group just kind of like, well, this is what's happening. Right? But Peter knew that wasn't the truth. I don't know if he said anything or not the first time. I don't know if he replied to the fact that, because that's not what he was asking, what they, he was asking, what are other people saying? And they said, they're saying, you're John the Baptist. You're Elijah. You're Jeremiah. You're back from the dead. That's who you are. You're some prophet that is raised from the dead and has come back again. And then when he said, who do you say? He asked the whole group again. He said, who do you say that I am? And Peter, what does revelation do? What is revelation when you got something from the Holy Ghost? What does it make you do? It makes you bold. Man, if you know that you know that you know, right, that you've heard from God as to what to do, you're going to do it. And it don't matter who's watching, who, whatever, it don't matter. You're about to do it. And that's what Peter did. He stood up and said, this is what I know. Nobody else chimed in. Peter, I mean, he's the one, it's the Lord jumping out of the boat, you know, whacking people's ear off. He was Peter, man. He was fired up. He was passionate about stuff. And this is what I was going to open up with, you know, like I said, about my tithe on Saturday night, because on Sunday morning I was going to share about my testimony about Malachi chapter 3, because it was revelation to me. Man, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the Holy Ghost just spoke to me about Malachi 3, and I thought, what's in Malachi 3? My truck just got stolen. I'm just, you know, I'm having a pity party. And I'm no telling how much time went by. I can't get anybody on the phone. I'm in Oklahoma. And he says, just read Malachi 3. What in the world does that say? I mean, I really didn't know. When he said it, I was just like, what? What? And I flipped to it and I started reading. And all of a sudden, this revelation came. And then I got bold. And then I could say, you know what? I'm a tither. The devil can't be messing with my stuff. Right? And it was this boldness that rose up out of me. And that's why you can't convince me otherwise. When we were married, thank God my wife was a tither before we did get married. But if she hadn't been, it would have been a rude awakening. We're about to tithe in this house, right? We're tithing. That's what we're doing. I know it seems like a lot of money, but we're just going to do it. I know we only make, you know, $500 a week between the two of us, and we got four jobs, and we're going through school. I know all that. We're going to be tithers. Why? Because of revelation. Just like Peter, you couldn't talk him out of it. Cannot talk Peter out of that. Cannot. Why? Because it was revealed from the Holy Ghost. All right? So then he says, Jesus goes on to say, verse 18, he says, I say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Not upon Peter the man, but on Peter's revelation of Jesus being the foundation. People get all crazy with that, you know, take it out of context, and they worship Peter, and that's messed up. This is written in red. It's Jesus. He says, upon this rock or upon this round foundation, you know, a foundation of revelation is solid. It's solid. It causes you to stand. When it's revelation knowledge, man, you can stand on that. He says, upon this, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And that word gates, I have in my Bible, I have a little parenthesis, and I have wall, and then I have a little arrow, and it says walls of Jericho. What does a wall do? A wall is not offensive. A wall is not coming to get you. A wall, sometimes we give the enemy too much credit. We really do. Because a lot of what he's trying to do is just trying to keep the truth out of you. Yeah, he comes like a roaring lion to seek whom he may devour. He does do that. But the other part of his deal is he wants to keep from you what God has for you. He wants to keep you ignorant or deceived. One of the two. There's only two weapons. Ignorance and deception. That's it. That's all he can work with. We just don't know something, right? Or get tricked about something. And both of those are knowledge. Both of those have to do with, if that's revelation to me, I'm not ignorant of it because I know it. You're not going to deceive me about it because I'm just, it's set. It's settled. I'm not changing my mind. Is that right? That's what Peter did. So with our tithe, if we're the same way about our tithe and about our giving, about our sowing, man, it doesn't matter what it looks like. You're just about to plant some seed and do what God's told you to do. And it don't matter what the bills look like. It don't matter who's calling. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you forgot. Like just this week, I forgot some stuff. I told Kelly, I said, it's going to be tight this week. Just put the brakes on. Just, I made a mistake on the budget. It happened a month ago. So I was just like, man, this is like, what day was that when we were talking? Friday? Huh? This past Monday? So maybe like a few more days, and man, I don't want to be, you know, jumping and scrambling. Well, I just made a mistake. But, you know, then I thought, man, it's going to be super tight. So I was telling her, baby, just like, and she just kind of spoke, just faith right back to me, buddy. I'm just speaking unbelief, like, baby, just slow down a little bit. Hey, let's just put the brakes on. Just watch a little bit. Shouldn't be going crazy. You know, just trying to, like, put the reins. And she said, God's going to provide. And she just right at me. It'll be all right. We're going to make it. It's going to be fine. And then I got a check in the mail the next day, the same day, out of nowhere, check in the mail. Bless God, I want to do a little dance. And then I realized I made like a $300 mistake. I said, praise God. Or maybe it was more than that because I did one deduction twice and then I didn't do the deposit that she had. So it was like, may have been $500, you know. Or so. It was. It was $500. Or maybe six. Somewhere it was a. I was just like, what happened, you know? I'm sweating. I'm just like wiping sweat, trying to tell my wife, okay. We're going to eat. We're just not going to shop this week. We're just going to eat. We're just going to eat from the house. You know, just, man. And she just like, God will provide. You know, God's going to get us through. We're tithers. I'm like, man, come on, girlfriend. Woo, right? And it, I mean, just one of those deals where I made a mistake. I mean, a check was in the mail on Monday. Plus, I just, you know, it was just a kind of a mishap on my part. But God does provide. He'll get, I mean, hey, he'll do it. When we have revelation that he'll take care of us, that's where we need to live. That's it. So, glory to God. Are you guys ready to take up your tithe tonight and your offering, your seed? It excites me. I'm telling you. I love it. I want it to be bigger this year than it was last year. And it will be. God loves givers. He does. All right. Father, we just thank you tonight for your just your goodness and your faithfulness, Father God, towards us. We just count this a privilege and an honor to be able to sow into your kingdom. Father, we bring our tithes and our offerings to you tonight. We present them to you. And Father, we just proclaim your word over it that it's going to increase. Now we are blessed people because we're givers in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, guys. Glory. Yeah, I'm all. I talked to a guy today, and he didn't. I knew who he was. I met him at the church. Turn to James chapter 3. But I didn't. He didn't know who I was. Or when I called, I told him, you know, this is Trey Waller from Living Word. And he's come to our church a few times, kind of off and on. He goes to another church. And anyway, I called him about a deal, and I introduced myself. And then about 5 minutes into the conversation, I'm trying to, you know, like he does a service that I need. And about 5 minutes into the conversation, he said, oh, wait a minute. Do you do the money thing, the tie thing at the church? And I said, yeah, that's me. And I thought, of all things in the world to think about, it was funny. He was like, oh, yeah, like hit him like just a brick. Hit him in the head. Boom. Wait a minute. You're that guy that does the money thing, the tithing thing. Yep, that's me. I'm a giver. James chapter 3. You guys there? Let's get started. Y'all ready? We're talking about, you know, last message from Pastor Andy, the series that he had was, there's a miracle in your mouth. We talked about that. This is, you know, speech tutor. See, I need one, right? Really, when I was younger, I needed one, for real. When I got nervous, I used to have these panic attacks. This is part of my testimony, where, you know, this fear would come on me, like I could feel it. Like it would just grip me, like a coat, just wrap me up. And then I'd get so tongue-tied, my eyes would start watering, my lips would start flapping real fast. It was terrible, absolutely terrible, you know? But the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, I can't use you unless you can speak to people. You got to quit talking like that. You got to get over this fear of speaking to people. And I took extra speech courses in college just to naturally get past the fear of getting up in front of people. It was the best decision I ever made, besides salvation and getting married, right? But it was just one of those things that he just dealt with me about it. Man, I mean, it's a real deal. So if you struggle with that, God can deliver you from that, cuz I promise you. I remember one time, very vividly, I was at Walmart. It was before it was here. It was actually down where Men and Building and Loan is, you know, where Walmart used to be right there. And I think that's where it was. It seems like that's where it was. And it's been a long time. Anyway, I was checking out at Walmart. And back then, before debit cards and all that, it was cash. I mean, you were cash. That's all you had, you know, or a check. I was too young to have a checkbook, I guess, or whatever. So I had cash. I remember thinking, I was up at the counter, and all of a sudden I felt this come on me. It's like this fear. I'm standing there, this lady's behind the counter checking me out. All I got to do is give her some money and walk out. That's it. And I get so, just like this fear comes on me, and I can feel it My hands start shaking so bad, I can't even hold the money. I'm just like, she's like, dude, what's wrong with you? You're like on, you're on speed or something? And I'm just like, couldn't hardly get out of the store. It was just fear. It just came on me. One other time it happened, I was at a mall. I was with my cousin from out of town. It was during the summer. She came in from college, and I was in from college, and it was for Christmas. It wasn't summer. It was Christmas. We were in from college on break. And so we met, and we were going to go Christmas shopping at the Pierre Bossier Mall. Man, fantastic. Let's go. So we went over there, and we're shopping and hanging out, and all of a sudden I see my English teacher. I've graduated high school. I'm in college. I see my senior English teacher, one of my favorite teachers that I ever had, I had in my whole high school career, walking down the thing in the mall. And all of a sudden, this thing just, I felt it come on me. Getting nervous and my head starts sweating. I'm just like, whew, man. It just hit me out of nowhere. And I'm just thinking, okay, I just want to avoid her. I don't want to see her, just hope she doesn't see me. And she said, hey, Trey, that's Trey. So she has her husband with her, and I never met him before, so she wants to introduce me, and I'm just like a basket case. I'm like that, really, just panic attack. Out of nowhere. And my cousin, after the whole, she left, and my cousin's like, what is wrong with you? Seriously. She's like, what is wrong with you? Because it hit just like that, out of nowhere. I said, man, that was when God was dealing with me about, if I can't use you unless you can speak to people. So if that's you tonight, Holy Ghost is saying, you can get delivered from that. All you've got to do is lean on the Holy Ghost, and He'll take care of every bit of that. All right? Because now I can stand up here with 250 people, do it on a weekly basis, here, and then at YCP with young boys that are in trouble and, cadre that are big and muscular, and it doesn't bother me anymore. Why? Because I lean on the Holy Ghost. He's the one that fixed me. All right? So James chapter 3, our tongue is one of the things that we have to learn to control. And even in those instances, it was hard for me to speak. I couldn't control my tongue. Like I would just talk out of my head. Just so nervous. I don't know. Maybe y'all have never been nervous like that. But I had these things that would come on me. And I couldn't even, my thoughts. I couldn't keep my thoughts straight. And I would say crazy stuff. And it was just bizarre. Right? But even our tongue, and when we are just normal and speaking normal, we still have to watch what we say. Right? So let's read starting in verse 3. It says, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. It says, behold, also the ships, which also they be so great, so big, are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. And whoever's in charge, whoever the driver is, the captain, they can turn the wheel, and that little bitty rudder, just a fraction of the size of the boat, can turn that thing. That's what he's saying. He says, even so the tongue is a little member, but it boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defile the whole body. The tongue will get you in trouble, will it not? Man, it'll get you some trouble. And setteth on fire the whole course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and every and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. In other words, we've tamed a lot of animals. Man has. We've taken control. A 1,500-pound horse, we can put, a little old bitty bit in his mouth and tell him where he's going to go. Right? We can control him. He says, we've tamed a lot of stuff, but our tongue, look at verse 8. It says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And if you just stop there and you just read that and think, man, you're just going to be poisoned all the days of your life because nobody can tame the tongue. But if you notice, it says, and this is what Pastor Andy brought out, just I don't know if you guys caught it the other day, but he said no man can tame the tongue. No human, no physical, fleshly man can tame the tongue. Well, okay. Proverbs 18:21 says, I'll tell you what, turn there and let's look. It says, life and death in the power of the tongue. If you don't have this scripture marked in your Bible, you need to mark it. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. What does that mean? It means, number one, the tongue has power of life and of death. So if we can't control our tongue, and it's flapping and speaking fleshly stuff, which is tied to death, we're just, what are we going to do? Who knows? We're just going to suffer. But it says no man can tame the tongue. So we have to be careful here because it says life or death, or and death. But we get to choose. If we want to speak life, we get to speak life. If we speak death, we're just going to get death. It's kind of like Pastor or Reverend Joe was talking about fire. You know, fire has great qualities to it. I mean, you can cook a steak. You can heat up your hands, right? Or you can be burned to death, or it can, you know, burn something and destroy something. Water's the same way. It has great qualities about it. Used in the right way, our tongue is just the same. It has great power. It just depends on whoever's in charge of flapping it, right? Because, I mean, even just medically speaking or whatever, it is the most powerful muscle in the entire body for its size. That's pretty crazy to me, too. I mean, it's small, but, man, it's full of muscle. It's got some stroke, right? So we have to watch which direction we go. But if James told us no man can tame it, what are we going to do, right? Well, the thing is, we have to, instead of, you know, letting the words come out of our belly and come out of our mouth so quick, or out of our head to our mouth really quick, we just need a filter. We need the Holy Ghost filter is what we need. We need Him to filter our words and filter our things that we're going to say before it just spouts. Because the Word says we're going to be held accountable for every word that we speak. Life, death, and idol. All of them. We're going to be held accountable. We're going to be judged for that. We're going to have to give an account. Say, okay, I said that. Yes, I sure did. Shouldn't have. All right, well, yes, I did. I spoke life over that situation. So we have to be really mindful of what comes out of our mouth. Well, if James says no man can tame it, well, it's the Holy Ghost that can help us do it. So what it is that we have to rein back our flesh from speaking the things that we want to speak. Like if somebody makes us angry or upset, and it's tough sometimes, right? We've all been there. I mean, you just want to knock them out. Just take them out, like Pastor Andy. I wasn't a fighter like Pastor Andy. I was in one fight in my whole high school, you know. Actually, I was in college when it was a fight, but it was on a high school campus. It was one of my buddies got jumped on, and it was a bad deal. So I just jumped in to help. I didn't pick fights. You know, I'm 145 pounds, 5'6½". I didn't pick fights. I avoided fights. Pastor Andy went looking for them. You know what I'm saying? When you got hands like that, man, you got, come on. Boom! Just knock you out. Man, no sir, not me. No, thank you very much. Don't even want to mess with that. So we have to watch our flesh. So what we need is a Holy Ghost filter. We need the filter of the Holy Ghost to check those words before they come out. Right? Now there's a couple scriptures that we're going to look at real quick. Let's see. James chapter 1. Let's go back to James real quick. And for those of you, you know, that you've been a Christian for years, you know all this stuff. This is just something to encourage you. And for those of you that are new believers or new into the faith of just, you know, I guess just walking by faith, living by faith, and maybe you've been a churchgoer, you just hadn't applied the word, you hadn't been living victoriously, this is something you really need to catch on to and really take and say, God, help me with this. Show me. And I'm going to give you some scriptures for that tonight. You can write them down, something you can pray over yourself. So James 1:19, this is just one thing, just a confession. This is James and all his wisdom. This is before he tells us about the crazy tongue and how big a flapper it is and how much trouble it can get us in chapter 3. In chapter 1, he says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And as Reverend Joe said, that's why we have two ears and one mouth, right? We have two ears to listen with and one mouth to speak. So we should at least be doing half the speaking than we are listening, right? We should double up on our listening and speak half the time. So slow to speak, quick to listen, that's just one thing that we can do. Mark Hankins has a quote. He says, anytime God wants to change someone's life, He always touches their mouth. Oh, man, that's good. Anytime God wants to change somebody's life, He touches their mouth. He's got to get to their mouth to have them speaking the right thing. Can you imagine little David coming out of the, you know, out of the field to go see his brothers, and he sees Goliath, says, what's that guy about? What's he doing? What's going on here? How come y'all aren't fighting? It's just one guy out there, there's a million of you guys. What's up? Why don't you just bum rush this guy? Come on, what's the deal? He's speaking all kinds of crazy stuff. What if David, little David, went out there and wasn't speaking life and he wasn't speaking victory? What if he wasn't saying that, you know what, you're defiling the armies of the living God. Today I'm going to cut your head off. Today the birds are going to eat you. What if he went out there and said, well, maybe, what about tomorrow? Why don't me and you maybe talk about it? Why don't we just visit? There's no victory in that. It's aggressive. He wants to touch your mouth so you get aggressive speaking the word of God. So anytime, Mark Hankin says, anytime God wants to change someone's life, he always touches their mouth. He's going to touch your mouth because he's got to get your thought life and your words in line with what his word says. You've got to be speaking faith in order to walk in that faith. You've got to. You don't have a choice. Because if it's going to become real to you, it's got to be coming out of your mouth. This is like the vision on the wall from, you know, Pastor Andy put out there. He didn't want to put it out there. Holy Ghost told him to, right? And he's like, oh, man. You put it out there for everybody to see. What if something doesn't happen? What if something doesn't come to pass? What if something, you know? He finally said, you know, Holy Ghost, you gave me that. You'll see it. I'm going to put it out there and show everybody. And you're going to help me see it come through, come to pass, right? And that's what's going to happen. We're going to do exactly what that wall says we're going to do. Because why? Because the Holy Ghost said it. Not because we said it. Because the Holy Ghost said it. And now we just repeat it after. It's like repeat after me, right? It's like the Holy Ghost. You know, how many times have you ever been to a place where you weren't really sure what to say, but they said, just repeat after me. Like your marriage, right? You're getting married and you're as nervous as I am, or I was. You know, I was about to pass out. Seriously, pass out. I mean, beautiful lady, man, look out, watch out. Lord, help us all. And it was hot. It was late in May. It was hot, man. It really wasn't hot. I was sweating, though. It's supposed to have been hot. It should have been hot that time of year. But there was actually it was kind of windy that day, kind of cool. It was nice. And then it rained. We set a record in June for, I think it rained 28 days in that month of June. If you look it up, Google it. You could find out how many inches it rained in June, because it rained the whole week we were gone on honeymoon, and for 28 days during June it rained. And I remember because we had a little lawn care service, my brother and I. It was just a bad deal. We didn't get to mow grass for a while. It was just like, you know, in a pea row. It was bad. So, but I'm standing there, you know, just I'm hot. Okay, I'm just hot. I'm just sweating. I'm just like nervous. Repeat it after me. Thank God. Did any of y'all married people, could you have remembered your vows? I mean, some people do. They memorize and they spit them out. God bless you, man. Mm-mm, not me. Thank you. I'm glad it's written down. Here's my vows. Just say them so I can repeat after you. That's what the Holy Ghost says. He said, just repeat after me. Holy Ghost will give you the words to speak. Let me give you a scripture for that. Glory to God. I got several. That one's in Proverbs. Let me find it. 22:21. Proverbs 22:21. And this is what I pray over myself and my wife and staff and actually you guys. We pray for you guys too. It says, make us to know the certainty of the words of truth, that I may answer the words of truth to them that are sent. In other words, when people come to me, Father God, I'm relying on you to give me the words to speak so I can speak to them. It's not stuff that I have or you have. It's what God is trying to get through us. So it's like me telling the Holy Ghost, you just tell me what to say, and I'll repeat after you. That's the easiest way to do it. Just lean on the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about just lean on him. Just lay on him. Let him do it. You just speak. So Proverbs 22:21. You can write that down. Glory to God. All right, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm going to share something real quick out of the... Actually, I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible. And I just took the marker out of my thing. What was I doing? I marked it with that thing. Glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, did I tell you that? I really would like to read the whole thing. It's incredible. Can we just do that tonight? Verses 1 through 16. I'm going to read out the Message. It'll be on the board. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That's not what I've got. Oh, okay. I was going to let them get get it up there and I'll start. It says, you'll remember, friends, that when I, this is Paul talking to the church of Corinth, right? He's speaking to them. He says this. He says, you'll remember, friends, that when I first came to you to let you in on God's master stroke, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy. I deliberately kept it plain. Is it up there? Okay, good. Kept it plain and simple. First, Jesus and who he is. Then Jesus and what he did. That's Paul. That was his mission. That's why he was passionate. Dude had a job to do. He was supposed to first tell about Jesus, who he is, and what he did. Jesus crucified, he says. I was unsure of how to go about this and felt totally inadequate. I was scared to death, if you want to know the truth of it. And so nothing I said could have impressed you or anyone else. But the message came through anyway. God's Spirit and God's power did it, which made it clear to you that your life of faith is a response to God's power, not to some fancy mental or emotional footwork by me or anyone else. We, of course, have plenty of wisdom to pass on to you once you get your feet on firm spiritual ground, but it's not popular wisdom, the fashionable wisdom of high-priced experts that will be out of date in a year or so. God's wisdom is something mysterious that goes deep into the interior of his purposes. You don't find it lying around on the surface. It's not the latest message, but more like the oldest, what God determined as the way to bring out his best in us, long before we ever arrived on the scene. The experts of our day haven't a clue about what this eternal plan is. If they had, they wouldn't have killed the master of the God-designed life on the cross. That's why we have the scriptural text that says, no one's ever seen or heard anything like this, nor so much as even imagined anything quite like it. What God has arranged for those who love him. But you've seen it and heard it because God, by his Spirit, has brought it all out into the open before you. The Spirit, not content to flit around on the surface, dives into the depths of God and brings out what God planned all along. Whoever knows what you're thinking and planning except yourself? Actually, let's skip on down. There's a couple things we can skip through to. Maybe it's verse 13. It says, we didn't learn this by reading books or going to school. We learned it from God, who taught us person to person through Jesus, and we're passing it on to you in the same firsthand personal way. The unspiritual self, just as it is by nature, can't receive the gifts of God's Spirit. There's no capacity for them. They seem like so much silliness. Spirit can be known only by Spirit. God's Spirit and our spirits are in open communion. Spiritually alive, we have access to everything God's Spirit is doing and can't be judged by unspiritual critics. Isaiah's question, is there anyone around who knows God's Spirit? Anyone who knows what he is doing has been answered. Christ knows, and we have Christ's Spirit. I've studied that out of the King James, but as I read the message, it was even more clear. What is Paul trying to say to us? He had the greatest revelation on the planet when he was alive. I mean, all the ones before him, even the disciples, they lived with the guy for years and never really fully grasped the gospel. But Paul, on the other hand, on his way on the road to Damascus, being a persecutor of Christians, gets knocked off his donkey, blinded. Jesus speaks to him, gives him a word, gives him a mission, and all of a sudden, Paul has the greatest revelation to walk the face of the planet, and it's still the biggest revelation that you and I have to pass on. What is it? It's Christ, who he is and what he did. First, what he did to get somebody saved, to say, you know what, you're redeemed. You can be restored to God today. Well, who is Christ? What did he do? That's what Paul was talking about. And he said, he quoted, where is it at? I'm in James. It's my other Bible. Glory. Let me get there real quick. He quotes Isaiah 64 says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither, this is verse 9, He says, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. So nobody's seen it, nobody's heard it, nobody knows it. And then it says in verse 10 in King James, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yes, the deep things of God. What does the Holy Ghost do for us? Man, if we allow him, Mark Hankins says, he always says, he's actually his dad, he's quoting his dad. He said, if you'll just listen to the Holy Ghost, he'll make you look real smart. Thank God. We said, amen, right? He will. Brother Hagin said it like this. He said, I'm not quoting him exactly, but basically he said, if you'll listen to the Holy Ghost, he'll make you rich. Not just saying rich as in money or, you know, just money alone, but he'll make you rich, have a full supply of joy and peace and patience, long-suffering, right? And money, throw it in, it's all there. He says, if you follow the Holy Ghost, if you listen to the Spirit of God, he'll make you rich. If you listen to the Holy Ghost, he'll make you look smart. That's him, that's what he does. And Paul is saying here that the things that are hidden from the world, things that were hidden from us before, are now revealed through the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is in us. I wrote down this little note. It says, the reason we don't have more than we do, or walk in more than we do, is because we haven't listened to the teacher. And the teacher is the Holy Ghost. Turn to John chapter 14. We're going to wrap up with this. If you ever, you know, talking about the Holy Ghost is one of the things that separates a faith church from just religious denominations. Because when you go to talk about the Holy Ghost outside of just, you know, the Holy Spirit being, you know, your reborn spirit in you, when you should go start talking about speaking in tongues and the Holy Ghost and creep some people out, right? You just go like, whew. But that's where the power is. That's where you don't take no for an answer, right? Well, if you ever, when you're in a discussion with people and you're trying to learn how to minister to them about the Holy Ghost, John chapter 14 and John chapter 16, this is how I remember it. It's the Holy Ghost job description. It's what he's doing for you. It's what he has been hired by God or appointed by God to do for you and I. John chapter 14 and John chapter 16. And it's Jesus talking about the Holy Ghost and what he was going to do. Glory to God. You know, the Holy Ghost, or the Word, is supposed to be taught precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little, right? It's supposed to be done a little bit at a time. You can't just get it all at one time. You got to learn this, learn that, and learn this. Learn that. The Holy Ghost will just teach you along the way. And that's why he says we're changed from glory to glory. And I just said last night, we were having a conversation, eating dinner. I want to go from this glory, and I'm chasing glory is how I say it. I chase glory. I want to chase it. What is glory? It's the heaviness of God. It's the goodness of God. It's the strength of God. It's the personality of God. It's everything that God has to offer is in glory. It's in his glory. Moses said in Exodus 33, he says, I want to see your glory. See, I want to see it. Even Moses, in the wisdom that he had, God, I don't want anything else. I want to see your glory. Why should we be asking for anything different? We shouldn't. God, I want to see your glory. I want to go from this glory, which is good, man. Things are good. Come on now. But I want to go to the next glory. And then from that glory to the next glory. Because we'd just chase God for the rest of our days. We get to heaven and we'll be like, oh my gosh. Wow, right? And just even more glory that we'll never catch it. It's infinite. We'll just chase the goodness of God and chase the goodness of God. But some people need to find the goodness of God where we found it years ago and he just saved us. But we need to go from that glory of just being saved, man. God, I'm not going to hell. Let's dance a little bit. And go from that glory to he's going to take care of my family and my children's children, and I'm going to walk in health, and I can have prosperity, and I can be happy, and I can be full of peace. And you get to that glory, and man, life's good. And he says, well, no, come on. Let's come on. Come on. And from that glory, and then, wow, from glory to glory. Where was I? I get lost in that, man. John 14, John chapter 16. John 14, verse 26, this is kind of where I have it labeled. It says, but the Comforter, this is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Jesus said, the Holy Ghost is going to teach you the Word. He's going to teach you the Word of God. He's going to teach you all things and bring them to your remembrance. It's something the Holy Ghost is supposed to do for us. John chapter 16, in verse, let's just jump over to verse 13. He says, calls him the Spirit of Truth. When He has come, He will guide you into all truth. How many of you want to walk in the Word of God fully? Man, we want to walk in it. I was just reading a thing the other day on Facebook of a lady that was reading a book, and she was saying that she's been trying to read the book, and she just couldn't. It was a Christian book she was reading for the Sunday school, and she just couldn't. She's like putting her to sleep at night. She just wrote this big, long thing on Facebook. So I, you know, has a little continue. So I don't read that. So I clicked it. What'd she say? You know, did it get better or what? Because she seemed excited. And this is a friend of ours. And anyway, she didn't go to this church. And she just said that the next day she had just prayed, God, help me understand this. Just help me understand this book. I want to learn about You. And she said the next night when she did the Bible study in her bed, it's like the scriptures just came out. She couldn't put the book down. She's not Holy Ghost filled. But I wanted to write, man, that's the Holy Ghost. He'll do that anytime you want. You just got to ask, and He'll reveal it to you. But I didn't. Glory to God. Now, let me give you those other scriptures real quick. We're done. We just have to learn. Even as an associate pastor, as a minister, I have to remind myself, and my wife has to remind me, we just got to lean on the Holy Ghost. We do what we know to do and just lean on God. He'll take care of the rest. If our heart is right, we're doing what we know to do, He'll take care of us. We don't have to fear. Right? We don't have to fear anything. Let me give you some scriptures that pastor's praying over you guys. Let's see, Psalms 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, right, be found acceptable in Your sight, God. That's just something we should speak over ourselves. Let the meditation of my heart, what I'm just got in here, right, and the words of my mouth be found acceptable, right? Help me change my words. Let me meditate on the right things. That's what he's praying over you guys. Isaiah 50, verses 4 and 5, it says, You, Lord, have given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to those that are weary. You awaken me morning by morning and open my ears, and I hear as the learned. That's how I say it. That's not word for word out of the Bible, so you just write it down, look it up. It just has, you know, plug it into your family and you. I want to have the ears of the learned. I want to be able to hear the Spirit of God speak to me. When James says in chapter 1, verse 19, when he says, be slow to speak and quick to hear, what is he doing? He's just saying, wait on the Holy Ghost. When you go to speak, if you would just take a second to listen, just listen, He'll give you the words to say. And that's with, it doesn't matter if it's just a little bitty thing or if it's some tragic big deal that's going on that you're in the middle of that happens really fast. If you just give Him a few seconds, and sometimes just ask Him, Holy Ghost, what do You want me to do? What do You want me to say? He'll give it to you. Best case scenario, we're full of the Word. We've already been meditating. He's given us, He's preloaded us. Because if you do a daily devotion, He will load you up for tomorrow. He'll load you up for this afternoon. He'll load you up for lunch because He knows what's coming. The Word says, where we just looked at John chapter 14 and John chapter 16, He will show you things to come. He knows what's coming. It's like school. When I said earlier, he teaches precept upon precept. He's like the teacher at school, right? They want to teach you 1 plus 1 and 2 plus 2 and your multiplication tables. They know all that stuff. They know what you're going to get next year in your class. They know what you're going to get in high school. They're trying to prepare you for what you're doing right now. And what you do right now, that glory, it's good. It's good. Let's move on to the next glory. Let's move on to the multiplication. Let's move on to division. That's the Holy Ghost. That's what He'll do. So if you're at ground zero, you're just born again, He'll start you right there. If you've been walking with God and learning about you're up a little bit, and He's just trying to teach you something else. You never stop. Precept upon precept. And the teacher knows the answers. She's not going to say, it's 4. Just put 4 down. Good grief. That's what I want to do in my boy. Just, my Lord, it's 7. Just put 7. Circle it. Draw a line. Good night, nurse. Right? Like this morning, I'm going to the, I forgot to check Jackson's homework yesterday. We didn't do it long. Oh, we went out to dinner. We were gone late. So he does his homework before supper time. Well, I didn't check it. We had dinner plans, so we went and did the thing, came back. They were in the bed. So this morning, I was like, oh, gosh, we forgot Jackson's deal. So I get out. I'm like, dear Lord, son, did you not read the instructions? It said he had to take a shape, and the ones that were symmetric, you know, and had the line in the middle, symmetry, line of symmetry, he had to shade one side. So they were teaching half makes a half and a half make a whole. Well, he circled the right ones, but he just scribbled on it. He didn't, like, draw in. I'm like, dear Lord, son. So, you know, I'm racing, trying to hand it to him in the back of the truck. I'm like, oh, boy, get it done. We got to get we're coming around the curve. Hurry. I mean, y'all never done that? I'm sure you haven't. But that's the Holy Ghost. That's what he'll do for us. He'll teach you what to say. He'll tell you what to do. Glory to God. We're going to lean on him. We're going to trust him. Put that Holy Ghost filter in there. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for teaching us. Thank you for showing us things to come. Thank you for being our God, being patient with us, being a forever teacher. We want to be a forever learner, Father. Just thank you tonight for your Holy Spirit who guides us and leads us into all things, Father God. We just pray for hearts tonight to be receptive, Father God, to your word, to be meek. Father, when we walk out these doors, we just want to be in the right place at the right time. We want to be speaking the right things that people come across our path, Father God, that you send us to. Speak the right things. Father, give us the words of truth so that we may be able to answer each person with your truth, not with our wisdom, but your wisdom, Father God. Father, tonight again, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your patience with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you tonight. Pastor's in the building, so we better...